Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. And we ask you to speak to us now as the words that you gave to the Apostle Paul, and encourage us and strengthen us to live for you, to love one another, and to reach the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn with me to the book of Philippians, we'll be going through. You have some notes there, each chapter. And that's what we're doing, is survey and highlights some of the richness that the Lord gave to Paul. We won't be covering some familiar passages and others we will, but trust you'll read through the book this week completely, but the Lord is good. So we'll start with chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'll read those. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops or elders and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what he's doing. He's going to be addressing them, encouraging them with some different things. And he, in verse 12, if you'll go there, we'll read, "But I want to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul was in prison in Rome. He's writing to them. The palace guards are chained to him, and he's witnessing to them. He's preaching to them, and the others that are with him and able to come and minister to him, he's in his own hired house. But he's there as a prisoner. And he says, everyone is being able to speak boldly for Christ because of my adversity, what's happened to me, his example. So if you look in your notes, we have some principles for adversity. So adversity promotes, so number one, okay, promotes the progress of the gospel. They're hearing. He's able to preach. So that adversity, he's preaching to Caesar's household. He's preaching to the palace guard within city of Rome, in the seat of the government. His hired house must have been near the palace, in the palace, or around the palace. We don't know. But people are hearing the gospel. So it's being, adversity promotes the progress of the gospel. Then number two, adversity produces courage in fellow believers. His fellow believers are there being encouraged because they see his boldness. They see his, wow, he's in chains and he's preaching. He's teaching. He's praying. And so they're encouraged within this city to preach the gospel too. So it promotes, produces courage in fellow believers. Number three, adversity prepares us to see life and death in perspective. In verse 22-26, we'll see this. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So he puts it in perspective. We want to be in heaven. We're waiting for him to come back. But why we're here, we be busy for him. So he says, I want to be there. It would be my gain. But I see life in perspective. We don't know our time. Lord will take us. But he wants us to be busy serving him. So adversity prepares us to see life and death in perspective. Then chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See? So, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we looked to him. He's our source. He transforms us. He guides us. So number one there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we'll continue reading from verse 6. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So that's what he did. He came to give himself. He came as the God-man. And we just celebrated Christmas, and then now we're looking forward to Easter, the resurrection of what he did for us. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, because of what he's doing. And what he did for us. And then number two in your notes, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we see that these things are happening. And that's the gospel message. That's our hope. That's our strength in his words. So here's Paul in chains writing to the Philippians to encourage them in all their adversity, in all their persecution that they're going through, and have boldness to be witnesses and have the mind of Christ, because every knee will bow, will either confess him and be there with him in the rapture or the resurrection, or those who do not accept him here will stand at the day of judgment, great white throne, and confess him. but will not have eternal life. So chapter 3, again, this is just a brief survey of the book, of the letter. So 1-6, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilations. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So then, This is what he's saying. He's saying, look, we can't trust in ourselves. If anybody could boast, if anybody could feel like they could win their way to heaven, it was me. But it was all for nothing. We can't do it of ourselves. So he's saying, beware of dogs, that's the evil teachers. Beware of evil workers that come among you. And there was false teaching coming to Philippi, that they had to be circumcised, and they had to do this, and keep the law, and all of these things to be a Christian. But Paul is saying, hey, if that was the case, that's what I would have been. But I was a persecutor. I was a zealous in my flesh. But it was all for nothing. It's Christ Jesus. So then we come to verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, in your notes, these I have counted loss for Christ. So all of that prestige, all of that power, all of what I thought I was doing for God, I count it as loss. They weren't gain to me. I count it loss for Christ. And then he continues in verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I'm continuing to serve him. I press on for that goal of serving him. I'm not perfect, but I press on. Because of him. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So that's what he's doing. He presses on, even in his adversity, even in his chains, he's encouraging them. Don't rely, don't listen to the false teachers, don't rely on anything but Jesus, and he will guide you. He will just continue to serve him day by day. Don't get discouraged, press on. Because we're going for that prize. We're not earning our salvation, but we're fulfilling. We're being sanctified. We're serving him by his grace. So the next one in your note is, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await. We're all waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for him to come. Verse 20. So that's our prize. That's our goal. That's what we're waiting for. Because we know and we have confidence then that our citizenship is in heaven when we know him as our personal Savior. And wait for the Savior. Chapter 4. So verse 4. Familiar verse to us all. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because of our hope. So he says to rejoice. Even while imprisoned, Paul speaks of joy or rejoicing 16 times in these 4 chapters. Rejoice. Praising the Lord, even in his chains, even in prison. Let your gentleness be known to all men. In verse 5, then, he encourages them. Again, he's an example for us, just like Jesus was. He's not perfect, he told us that. But again, his example is in the Lord. He's not complaining. He's not saying, I shouldn't be here in these chains. I've been waiting to be have my case heard before Caesar. Why am I still waiting? No, he wasn't doing any complaining. He was just rejoicing in the Lord, serving the Lord, and being gentle. So let your gentleness be known to all men. And then again, 6 and 7. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, a familiar passage that we don't worry for anything. You know, we just look to him. Look to his strength. He said, then have confidence in your request to the Lord and give thanks for everything. So then finally, our last note of chapter 4. It's verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. While you're praying, while you're thinking and rejoicing and asking, just meditate on these things that the Lord Jesus is so good to us. And then he closes with verse 23 at the end. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's his strength. That's what he's started out with, going through the book, trying to, you've heard a lot of things about what's happening to me, but don't worry about me. Take care of yourselves. You're a young church. Don't be worried about the false teachers and the false teachings. Do these things that I have taught you and what I am encouraging you now to do. And he closes with that benediction, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And that's our prayer today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that as your personal Savior, if you don't have that assurance and hope and waiting for him to return, come to know him this morning. Come after the service and speak with the elders, or seek someone else out that you trust that would lead you to an understanding of the Lord. And then meditate upon these things, all of us, to live daily and look for his coming and have his assurance and let his peace be in our hearts all week long. Thank you.